Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
For I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And I'm talking today on how do I get my prayers answered. I talked a little bit about that Wednesday night, and I want to continue. You may be seated. Because I would assume, it might be a bold negative speculation, that most prayers are not answered. Most people don't get their prayers answered. And so this is a kind of a question that I've asked a lot of times. How do I get my prayers answered, Pastor? And I've had a lot of prayers answered in my lifetime. You're sitting in one. This building is an answer to prayer. And all the people sitting around you are answer to prayer. And everything that God has done in my life is an answer to prayer. And so when we read the text that I've shared with you, it's so simplistic, we just automatically get excited and say, man, whatever I pray for, I'm going to have. I'm going to pray for a new car. I'm going to pray for a new job. I'm going to pray for a wife, a husband. I'm going to pray that the Lord does plastic surgery on my face. You get up in the morning, look in the mirror, look just the same. Say, man, I thought this prayer thing worked. What's happening here? Well, let me read a little qualifier. You know, you really got to kind of look at the scripture and balance it. The Bible said by the witness of two or three. And so you got to do that when you're studying God's word. John chapter 9, verse 31. I don't like this verse near as good as I do the one I just read you. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. That kind of puts things in perspective pretty quickly. It disqualifies everybody that is a sinner. In other words, if you're not saved, not born again, God said you got to get your prayers in priority because I don't answer them out of order, and your first prayer has got to be for salvation. So if you haven't prayed that prayer, he said God heareth not sinners. And so there's a who. Who will God answer their prayers? He said you must be a worshiper. You must be a worshiper. And there's a what? And doeth his will. You must be a worshiper that does the will of God. And then when you do that, you can get real power in prayer. You know, several years ago, I was driving a pickup truck, pulling a trailer out here on I-35. I was coming up through the country, and I pulled up on I-35 there and was going right along. And I finally heard a siren, and I realized when I looked in the mirror, he was after me. So I pulled over, and he came up there, and he said, you ever look in your rearview mirror? I've been following you forever. And he said, finally, I had to turn my siren on. And he said, you know, you've got some real violations here. He said, you know, when you came to the stop sign up there to the frontage road, he said, you just rolled through that. You run that stop sign. He said, since you've been up on the freeway here, you've been speeding. He said, you haven't used your turn signal. He said, you've got a cracked lens in your taillight. He said, your license is expired on your trailer. Your truck license is expired. He said, so far I've got 13 violations. He said, let me see your driver's license. I said, sir, I don't have a driver's license with me. He said, you don't have a driver's license? He said, can you read and write? I said, yes, sir. He said, here's a piece of paper. Write your name down on this piece of paper. And he looked at that. And of all things, he recognized, you're Steve Fender? You're the guy past that church up on the freeway? He said, oh, good Lord, get your act together. He said, you're acting like a criminal, not like a pastor. Let me explain to you. You might have a driver's license or not have a driver's license, but if you get pulled over and you can't show that driver's license, they don't say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a test out here and see if you can drive a car. No, it doesn't work that way. You either have your driver's license or you don't have your driver's license. That's the way it is with being a Christian. You either is or you ain't. And you don't get to make that decision. I know a lot of people make that decision at every trial they have in their life. They're not a Christian at all until they have a trial. And then they are, man. Man, they're praying. I got people tell me all the time, oh, I'm praying for you, Pastor. And I know that their prayers don't amount to nothing because they live like the devil, and they don't ever have a God thought, and all of a sudden they see me, oh, we're praying for you, Pastor. No, you're not. You're just saying that. Because a person of prayer exudes an entire different atmosphere. You're a worshiper of God. You do the will of God. You seek to do the will of God. And those two requirements give you tremendous ability, because now you can talk to God. And not only talk to God, you can talk to God with effect. You can actually get your prayers answered. Be a worshiper of God and doeth the will of God. You know, we sometimes kind of say, well, we'll worship on our own terms. You don't get to worship God on your terms. Because you're worshiping Him, God is the one that decides how you worship. And so Psalms 149 and 150 really talk a lot about praising God. We kind of like to dress our worship up the way we want it. Well, I want my worship to be dignified and sophisticated. But sometimes it's not that way. And we're kind of like Michael. Remember David's wife, Michael, Saul's daughter, when she saw David worshiping until his kingly garments fell off, the Bible says she despised him in her heart. Oh, she just didn't like that unsophisticated worship. When you're really a follower of God, you'll just lose all comprehension of what is acceptable, and you'll pour your heart out to God in the good times and in the bad. You know, one of my favorite little stories I've told so many times, and I don't remember whether I read it or whether I heard it now, but it was the Methodist preacher. That he said, my church, he said, I went to seminary and I had a PhD. And he said, I felt like I was a pretty good communicator and took a lot of pride in my delivery. And he said, we had a really good church. We had a wealthy church and they were so sophisticated. And he said, I was always really, really proud of the dignity of our church and our beautiful building. And he said, I had a son that was a quarterback in high school. And he said, he's pretty good. And he said, I went to a football game Friday night. And he said he threw a pass. It's just a bomb. I mean, he threw it into the end zone. That guy caught it. And he said when he did, he said, I jumped up in the bleachers, was screaming and carrying on. That's my son down there. And he said all of a sudden I heard the voice of God on a football at a football game. And God said, how come you act like that about your son, but you never act like that about my son? He said, I had a little different message for my church that Sunday. It wasn't so much about pride and dignity. It was more about how we ought to praise God and how we ought to worship the Lord. Sometimes you got to put your pride and your dignity aside and say, I'm a worshiper of God. I'm a Christian, and I do the will of God. And so answered prayer is many times a combination of process and miracles, and it's always a result of faith. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's impossible to please him. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How much diligence do we have in seeking the Lord? I really believe in prayer. Because I've seen God do so many impossible things in my life. I like it when people can help me out. I like it when I can help myself. But there are times in my life, and they're fairly frequently, that I say, nobody's going to help me, and I can't help myself. God's going to have to help me in this. And friend, I want to tell you, I serve a prayer-answering God. Very seldom does God do it like I think He's going to do it, but He does it in amazing ways. God is a miracle-working God. The Bible said, let him ask in faith, that person that is a doer of the will of God, that person that is a worshiper of God, that person that can pray the prayer of faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There's the killer right there, that nothing wavering part. It's really easy to ask God, and if we don't get an answer in 12 hours or 24 hours, we start wavering a little bit. But the scripture is pretty plain. For he said, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now the next verse is even worse. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He said, the man that prays what he thinks is a prayer of faith and then wavers, he said he's not going to get an answer to his prayer. And so, friend, you've got to get that laser faith, that focused faith that doesn't give up. I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night. Somebody said, oh, to pray a second time or a number of times about the same thing is doubt. I don't believe that. I believe that you pray and you knock until you get the answer. I find that in the scripture, there is illustration after illustration of that. And so a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love that phrase, with whom is no variableness. That means God is the same all the time. God's either on your side all the time, or he's not on your side at all. God's either good all the time, or he's mean all the time. You just have to decide. You know, someplace in my ministry, in my life, it got very simple. In my life, it's much simpler than it used to be. I just see things that are good, and I put them in God's column and say, that's a good gift. I'm going to give God praise. If I see something negative, I say, that's the devil trying his very best to stop me, and so I put that in his column. It's just a very simple life. I'd like for us in just the last few moments of this message, learn from Jesus in a day of miracles. All of the things that I'm going to share with you happened in the same 24-hour period. In fact, less than 12 hours on the same day. The Bible tells us that there was a time when Jesus was walking along and a man came running up to him and said, "Sir, my boss sent me." My boss is a centurion. He's a man of influence, and he's got a servant. He's got a man that works with him as a servant under him, maybe a soldier. And he said, this person is very, very sick unto death, but he's asking that you would simply heal him. Now, the Bible doesn't indicate that the centurion had ever met Jesus. It doesn't indicate that Jesus knew who he was, but yet, when Jesus heard that word, he was impressed, and he turned to go, and he said, no. He said, somebody said, tell him he doesn't need to come to my house, for I am not worthy that he should come to my house. Now, you have to realize that the servants and the errand runners of the centurion had talked to Jesus about how worthy this man was, but yet this man said, no, I'm not worthy at all. He said, in fact, I'm not worthy that you even come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. There's three ways to get a prayer answered. By petition, this is the first. By petition, by compassion, and for the glory of God. And so this was by petition. And Jesus said, what did he say? He said, it's not necessary for you to come to his house. Just speak the word, and his servant will be healed. Jesus was flabbergasted. Jesus was amazed. I've always liked this. I've studied often because I would love to have faith that Jesus found amazing. We know that God's grace is amazing. What if our faith become amazing? We just believe that not only God can, but God will. We believe that God is good all the time. And he will interject his miraculous power into our life to right every wrong. Jesus was amazed at this man's faith, and the Bible said he was. And so the Bible tells us that this centurion's servant was healed immediately as Jesus just sent his word. And the centurion said, I'm not amazing at all. I'm not worthy. But my strength is in what I think about you. There's a common thread that runs through these series of miracles that happens on this day. And that common thread is that you do not take confidence in yourself, but your confidence is always in the Lord. Religion has a way of building false pretense in people. Because I go to church, because I write checks, and because I do this, it's going to happen. No, friend, that's not the reason why it happens. It happens because God is good all the time. And because God has power. And so then there's a second thing that happens. And the Bible simply said that Jesus was walking along, and suddenly they're interrupted in their transversing as they walk along there by a funeral parade. They didn't have sirens and ambulances. They carried him in those days. But Jesus recognized that there was a baby. There was not a baby, but a man being carried, and he was dead. And he recognized that a widow was following this bier or this coffin, and she was weeping uncontrollably. He discerned the situation very quickly that this widow was lost her son, was probably a man by now, and he has died, and he's the last thing that she's got in life. And so all of a sudden, Jesus is overwhelmed by compassion, and he just says, I'm going to fix this situation. You know, compassion is a wonderful thing, and the Bible tells us that Jesus does have compassion. That's probably not the reason why most miracles are happening, but sometimes they do happen that way. The Bible said in Hebrews, it said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, for we do not have a high priest which is not touched with the feeling of our infirmity. What you know about God is that he's a good God and that he's a compassionate God, and because of that, it ought to cause something to happen in you, and that is, you ought to say, my God is a good God and a compassionate God. So I believe that God is going to interrupt my trouble with an answered prayer. So it happens by petition. It happens by compassion. But there's one more thing that happens, and it happens for the glory of God. If you continue down in this chapter, the Bible said there came great fear on all, and they glorified God. And the rumor went forth about the power of God and what Jesus Christ was doing. And the Bible said in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and their plagues. This was not because of petition. This was not because of compassion. This was for the glory of God and to establish the kingdom of God. Because they did not yet know who Christ was. And Jesus tells us that even the forerunner, John the Baptist, which was declaring there's one coming after him, he didn't know who he was. And so they sent word and said, John the Baptist, there's one here. And he said, ask him if he's the one. He said, well, tell them that the sick are healed, that the lame walk, that the dumb talk, and he will know that I am the one. And so it was to establish the kingdom of God. So ladies and gentlemen, when you get real faith, when you get real faith and you begin to understand the power of God, you can say, I'm going to get an answer for my prayer because I'm going to petition God. And second, because my God is compassionate. And third, God wants to use this to establish the kingdom of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I've seen God do all kinds of miracles. And what we need are people in this day and hour that will pray the prayer of faith, because there are so many people that have never seen the work of God. They go to dead churches or dry churches or churches that have educated their congregation out of faith, and so they never see anything. We are in a real dearth for needing the power of God to manifest as a witness to people that are hungry, but they're not sure. Because I want to tell you that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it does not matter what your problem is, God is greater. And so I want to do my best in these pulpit times to tell you that your faith is there, but it can get bigger. It can get stronger. And God wants you to try your faith. God wants you to have faith that will be amazing. And I've seen God do some amazing things. In New Orleans, Louisiana, I was there when there was a wonderful lady in that church, and she was married to the devil. He must have been the meanest man in New Orleans. They dreaded when he came to church because he, under his breath, he would cuss the ushers as they went by. He was just demon-possessed. And she said to the pastor, she said, I'm tired of living with a man that doesn't love God. She said, Pastor, I'm not going to eat another bite, and I'm going to go on a prayer and fast chain until my husband gets saved. And she went on that fast and prayer, but it got out of hand. She got into about the third week, and finally the pastor took it on his great senses to begin to educate her. And he said, you fasted too long. And he said, you're going overboard on this thing. And she said, even if I die, I'm not giving up. And that very Sunday night, when I preached that sermon, that devil she was married to walked down that aisle, looked up to me and said, "That woman I'm married to is going to kill herself if I don't get saved." And it was my pleasure to lay my hands on him and see the power of the Holy Ghost and realize it wasn't because of me. It was because there was a woman of petition that knew how to pray the prayer of faith, just like God said. And so I want to encourage some of you here today. God might be speaking to you to petition him. You might need to temper it with a little prayer and a little fasting, but I want to encourage you that God has got a miracle in the making, and you and him are in this together, and God wants you right now to just say, "I will not give up on this thing. She's going to be saved. He's going to be saved. I'm going to get that job. That miracle is going to come to pass." You know, my favorite subject to preach on are prayer, praise, and faith. You know why? Well, when you preach on patience, it's going to take a while to see the effect of that. There's lots of things that just takes a while. But when you preach on faith and praise and you preach on prayer, right before your eyes, you can see a miracle. I say that to say I believe that I've got about 10 minutes left in this message, and there's somebody in this building right now that can feel their faith begin to gnaw down inside of them. And I believe in the next 10 minutes, it's going to be settled in your spirit that that miracle is going to be mine. I'm going to drive it. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to be married to it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to have it before this week is over, because I believe that my God is able, and I believe that God answers prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is wanting you to understand that. And so if it's a miracle of compassion, if it's a miracle of petition, or if it's a miracle to establish God's kingdom, it doesn't matter. It's just a miracle. God is in the miracle working business. God is fixing your vocation, your job right now. God is working on a family member right now. God's adjusting your bank account right now. God is healing your body right now. All he needs is somebody to pray the prayer of faith in Jesus' name. I was preaching near Chicago, Illinois, in a revival. We just started the revival. Back in those days, we went at least 2 weeks, sometimes 6 or 8 weeks, and we'd go every night. And so in that revival meeting, we just got started, and it wasn't going real well, as they usually did. And the first few nights, you had to build it. You had to increase their faith and preach to them, because they were in the same place, same people, doing the same thing and hadn't seen anything for a long time. You had to convince them that the same people in the same place were going to have different results. That's really the work of an evangelist. And so that's what you'd do. You'd work a few nights building up that faith. And so I was in that, and I was preaching about the third or fourth night. There was a young man in that church, and he was special needs. He's probably about 16 or 17 years of age, and he was not totally adjusted or maladjusted, but he had some real problems. He couldn't go to school, and there's a lot of things he just couldn't function at. But he could communicate a little bit, and he could talk a little bit. And while I'm preaching, he doesn't understand the decor of a sermon. He doesn't understand that you don't stand right up in the middle of a sermon and interrupt the preacher. But he did. He said, "Hey, preacher." He said, "You really believe what you're saying?" Kind of takes you back. I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I do too. We're going to do something about this." I found out that people that are special needs, people that are childlike, they're big players in the kingdom of God. I found that out many times. They're childlike, and God uses them greatly. So the next service night, I was excited when I saw my friend, that 17-year-old boy, was back, and he had somebody sitting in the aisle next to him. It was a man in a wheelchair. And as I preached that night, and when I got through preaching, my little special needs teenager buddy walked down there pushing that wheelchair in front of him, and he wanted to talk to me. He said, "This is my neighbor." Said he ain't never been to church before, but said, "I got to tell him about you, that you're a miracle worker, that you believe anything can happen." And said, "He's come to be healed tonight, preacher." I never will forget turning to that pastor, which was a very good friend of mine. In fact, that church was the largest church in that district. And at 21 years of age, they offered me to pastor, and I knew better than a pastor at 21. But anyway, it was a great church, great pastor. And I remember turning to my pastor friend, and I said, "You want to help me pray?" And he said, "No, you're doing all right." And I remember he had a bottle of olive oil there, and I took the lid off of that bottle of oil. And I remember that it was just kind of me, a special needs boy, and a man that didn't know anything except he was desperate. I found out later that he had had an accident and had been in that wheelchair for years. I found out he was a multimillionaire, and he had exhausted every doctor and every hospital trying his very best to get his ability to walk back and walk back again. And they said, "It's never going to happen, sir." But when I put my finger on his forehead with that oil on it, he didn't know anything about church doctrine. He didn't know anything about what usually happens and what does not happen. All he knew is what a special needs boy had told him. And when I put my finger on his head with that oil on, he looked up to me and he said, "Now what, Pastor? What's next?" He said, "Should I get up?" I said, "That'd be good." He didn't know that most people just sit there and say, "It'll happen later. It's not going to be a miracle. It's going to be a gradual thing." He didn't understand that. He was just going on the faith of a special needs boy and a young preacher. And suddenly, I never will forget, bright red carpet in that church, fire engine red. I always liked that red carpet in those churches. He reached down and turned those little foot pedals up. And I said, "Sir," before he got out of that chair, I said, "Sir, would you like to give your heart to Jesus?" He said, "Not at all." He said, "I didn't come here for any of that. I came here to walk." He turned those foot pedals up. He pushed that wheelchair out from behind him and walked down that aisle, turned around and walked back there to me. And he said, "Now what were you saying about being saved?" I led him to the Lord. He said, "Is there anything else?" I said, "You can get baptized." We baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. He came up out of that water and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire. And friend, it was on a snowy, cold February night. And the weather was not conducive to revival services, but that next night, the building was filled. It happened for a variety of reasons. A special needs boy had given a petition. Another man was wanting compassion, and God was wanting to establish his kingdom. And I could tell you that things are piling up on the side of your miracle. God hears your petition, and God knows what compassion is, and he feels your infirmity, and God wants to establish his kingdom. So why don't you let your faith go? Why don't you color outside the lines? Why don't you let your faith get bigger than it's ever been? Why don't you confess something you've never had? Why don't you do something you've never done? Why don't you confess, "My God is totally able. There is no sickness too great. There is no bankruptcy too big. There's no problem too great. My God is able." And my God walks these aisles today, and he's saying to each and every one of you, "Will you be made whole?" And friend, I would like to think that the whole crowd would shout amen. But the truth is that Jesus went to the multitude, and only one man that had been laying there 38 years said, "Yes, you can." I wonder if there's one person in this building today, just one. It doesn't take a house full, just one. Say, "Yes, God, you're healing me now. Yes, God, you're fixing my marriage now. Yes, God, you're saving my daughter now. Yes, God, you're taking care of my bank account now. Yes, God, you're giving me the job now. Yes, God, the headache is gone now. Yes, God, my body is healed now." Can you get your prayer answered? Because God is a prayer answering God. And God is cheering you on. And he's saying yay and amen to his promise that it wants to manifest in your life today. All over this building, can I ask everybody that's got a hand and everybody that's got a heart, lift your heart and lift your hand to heaven and begin to praise God in this sanctuary as we expect God to work miracles in this house today in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you've got a need in your life, I challenge you to walk out of your chair. And the greatest need of all is salvation.